Hey everybody, welcome back. This is part two of C-sharp scripting with myself, Jeremy Foster, and sitting right next to me, Mark Michaelis.
Hi, this is Mark Michaelis. Good to be with you, Jeremy.
In the last video, in case you missed it, you probably want to jump back and watch that one for some context. Part one, we talked about C-sharp scripting, what it is, the fact that it was recently released at Microsoft's Connect conference, how to make sure that you've got it on your machine, and the kind of the basics of how to use it. We showed using it on the command line, and in this part two video, we're going to show the tooling that you get with Visual Studio and what Visual Studio does to enable you to use C-sharp scripting. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and get us going?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out you do need to have Update 1 in order to do this. So if I go into About Visual Studio after launching it, you'll notice that I do have Update 1 installed in my version of Visual Studio. Once you do, you can actually go into your view window, and you'll notice under other windows, there's now the ability to go ahead and do a C-sharp interactive. And I want to point out the important thing here is this is a new window. This is not your immediate window. So it's not the same window that you had in part of Visual Studio for a long time. And it doesn't sort of give you debug context or anything like that. This is literally a window for starting to do C-sharp on the command line. So what that means is I can go ahead, just like I showed you in the previous video, I can go ahead and do system dot console dot write line. You'll notice the difference now between what I typed before, however, is that now I'm actually getting color coding. You notice that it automatically put the closing quotes in there, put the closing parentheses. So now I get to the same thing I did before, but now I'm inside an interactive window that allows me to do my C-sharp with all the features that come with Visual Studio to allow me to interact with it. And so then I can go ahead and print out the output just like doing the right lightning like I did before.
Now, I suppose that some people like myself will initially be confused between the C-sharp interactive window and the C-sharp immediate window. And there's also a C-sharp command window,
yeah,
right?
This is important. So let's just go through the different functions. The command window allows you to interact with Visual Studio to do things that interact with the menus and execute those menus. So you could, for example, go ahead and start the interactive window through the command window. So if you go to your command window, for example, you can go ahead and do view C-sharp interactive, and that'll go ahead and launch the interactive window so you can actually start interacting with that way. So the command window is for doing interactions with Visual Studio and launching Visual Studio to do the different commands you want to do. The difference with the immediate window is the immediate window gives you context when you're debugging. So in the immediate window, you can actually go set variables, you can assign different values, you can interact with your program as though you're live. On a breakpoint, you can start to interact with the variable in the context. You can execute statements as though they were in line in the program, but in actual fact, they weren't there. You went and injected them while the program was paused or interacted.
So I guess it's fair to say that the immediate window is in the context of the program that you have running in Visual Studio.
Debugging, correct.
And the interactive window is in the context of some other world. It's not related to the code that's running.
It's a totally different and separate context. So it gives you the context of Visual Studio. It gives you the context of a C-sharp scripting environment that does not have access or a handle to Visual Studio or to the debug window.
Okay.
Now, the power of it is to allow you, again, like we talked about the previous time, is to go ahead and do quick and dirty kinds of programs that you just want to experiment with or execute with, but doing it from the command line. So if you want to explore an API, you want to understand, hey, how do I do zip of windows, then you can start doing that through this window.
I'll bring up an example, actually. I just went through, I was learning about Azure's IoT Hub. And with IoT Hub, you can create you basically are registering IoT devices in IoT Hub up in Azure. And in the tutorial, they have you create a console application for the express purpose of registering a couple of devices so that then you can use the real program to use those devices and actually read and write messages from the cloud. Well, there was no other reason to just create a console application other than that they needed the C-sharp environment. And so that's the type of thing that you could do from the interactive window instead of having to spin up an actual program.
Exactly. You can go ahead and start using your commands. Now, the other thing that's important about the interactive window is you're not limited to going and executing one command at a time. You can actually go ahead and create a whole script of stuff. So I can start writing a script here, and I could do something like console.writeline. and then start here and then open a quote and then go to the next line. You'll notice it allows me to continue to interact and go ahead and do stuff or interact with the program. But the other thing that's interesting is you have a whole bunch of commands here that you didn't have before. So I can go ahead and type pound help. And you'll notice there's a whole bunch more commands here that weren't available before in C#. And the most specific thing to notice is, of course, there's keyboard shortcuts. We can talk about those. But you've also got this pound prefix to allow to do directives that you weren't able to do before. So in this command prompt, I can go pound CLS, and I can essentially clean off my entire window to go do stuff. So that pound ability with IntelliSense, of course, allows me to go ahead and start doing stuff that is not part of C#, but is now part of the C# scripting world. So that gives me additional functionality. And the ones that are sort of most interesting is I can actually go ahead and start referencing assemblies or loading files that I want to do and interactive with. So the commands that are really interesting here is I can do a pound load, and I can point to a C# script that I want to go ahead and execute.
That's what I was just going to ask you about. Some of the things that you do in a project are add references, and you can do that in the scripting environment.
Yes.
Now, what if I'm saving? I assume that with C# scripting, I can save C# script files.
Yes.
And then just execute those. So do these pound statements, can those be saved into a script file?
Absolutely. So first of all, the traditional way is to save a C# scripting file as a CSX file. So I've got Visual Studio Code open here. And I can go ahead and open up a CSX file, which I've got here, one called spell.csx. And you'll notice in here, I start out by saying, hey, in this C# script, I need to have access to JSON because I'm going to go ahead and do some interaction with a web service, a REST API. And so I went ahead and did a pound R to call in the fact that, hey, I need to have access to Newtonsoft. And then in addition, I have a key to interact with the API. I need to have an API key. And so I've gone ahead and placed it into a shape.csx. I'm pulling in that file so that it comes into the context of what I want to go ahead and use. So absolutely, I can save those directives, like a reference directive or load directive, into my CSX file and start interacting with it. Now, you'll notice I pulled this up into Visual Studio Code. And the reason I do that is because I'm able to get color coding inside the CSX file, where right now Visual Studio will just treat it as a text file because they haven't yet got the support coming in. We'll see it soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost pregnant, but it's not quite there yet that we get that support. So the reason I use this, because I want to get the IntelliSense. But if I take this file and I paste it in here, you know, then I'm going to go ahead and get the color coding. And you'll notice it hasn't executed that
right
yet.
I'm still just pasted it in, but it's all one execution. If you hit enter right now, it's going to do everything.
Yes. Now it says it couldn't find the command. It couldn't find the file because I'm actually referencing the files up here, and I'm not in the same directory. So I need to go ahead and change directory to be able to reference that. So in here we get to go ahead and start using these commands. So here I can create a reference, both for for an assembly as well as going ahead and loading another CSX file as though I'd gone ahead and typed it within that window. A couple other things you should notice about CSX file scripting. Intentionally, Microsoft is trying to remove ceremony. So there's no support for things like a namespace. If you're just writing a quick and dirty program, you're not going to need the need to sort of disambiguate multiple classes or anything like that. So you can't actually define a namespace. But you can go ahead and define new types. So for here, you'll notice I've gone ahead and defined a new type called spell, and I can interact with that. But I don't have to go ahead and use fully qualified names like, oh, I got to go type system.console.writeline. I can just go ahead and use a using directive to go ahead and say, hey, just pull in so you just can type console.writeline. In fact, you can even do using static. So you can go using static system.console, and then you can just type writeline instead of having to prefix with console.writeline.
Yeah.
So you can pull in commands and make them accessible and available to you from the command line without having to do all that content.
Mark, what about safety? As we know, scripting languages get into a place where it may be that the scripting author is doing something malicious, and they are quick and dirty. It's pretty easy to exchange them, send them out in an email, you know, put them on a website. Somebody can download them, and if they execute them, it could do something malicious to their machine. So how's that avoided?
Of course. The reality of it is this is .NET. So whatever you did with .NET in the past, you're going to be doing this here. If you download C# code and you compile it and run it, could they do something bad like delete start at starting on your computer? Of course. In this case, it's the same thing. You got to download it. Now, there's no compile, but there's execute. It's no different than anything else. Is you have to know what you're doing, review the kinds of stuff you're downloading. But it doesn't execute automatically, right? It's not like you download the file and suddenly it's on your computer and executes. Right. Like anything else, you actually have to take an action, you know, and say, okay, when I go to execute this, you execute the script. And there's no default association. So the CSX is a file that, you know, I've got associated with Visual Studio Code, but it's not like that was there by default out of the box. So the other thing I should point out is that the way that I was able to get this, the C# coding, color coding inside Visual Studio Code is I actually went ahead and stored Script.cs. So Script.cs is a precursor to C# scripting, and it's actually a more developed environment. So if you want to do scripting with things like, you know, the CD command or PWD that we had before, this is available if you start to use Script.cs.
I see.
And the Script.cs environment knows about CSX files and adds that association to your file system so that you can get color coding within
Is that within built VS into code, or is that an extension you need to install?
By installing CS script, you get it built. You get the extension added to code. So you have to have the most recent version of code where extensions are supported. Once you've got that and you install C# scripting, you get that association. So you can now get color coding. So it's sort of, again, a precursor of what you can do in Visual Studio. Visual Studio gives me the color coding. You can see all of this up here. I'm getting color coding. But it doesn't happen inside the editor window. It's happening inside the C# interactive window. And if you want to do it inside code, you can do that.
Okay. Do you have any resources top of mind that people can hit to learn more about this?
I have a full description of this coming out in MSDN Magazine. I think it's going to hit in January. So the beginning of January, 1st of January, you should see an article in MSDN Magazine on C# scripting. So that's a great resource to go hit. And of course, this is available in open source. So if you actually want to go ahead and look at the source code and how this works, you can go ahead and download Roslyn. You can actually interact with it and start extending it. The other thing to point out is not only where we're at right now. I talked about the fact that Microsoft is obviously going to put this inside Visual Studio, but you can start to see the fact that Microsoft has added this to Visual Studio. It's a precursor to start to give you extensibility to your C# applications. So if you want to go ahead and allow other people to start to write a C# code to extend your existing application, whether it's on the web or whether it's on a rich client, you can imagine this becomes an editor sort of a la VBA kinds of stuff where you get color coding, you get interactive, and you can start to extend your application and doing that. So I think it's a great environment right now just for you to do quick and dirty kinds of programs and sort of play with your C#. Think about sort of, I want to write an aggregate expression in link and I can't remember quite how to do that or get that syntax quite right. You can do this interactively, make sure you're returning the right thing. You can actually go ahead and reference write your link expressions and test them out against SQL or against a file, whatever you want to do. But you can see that a long-term vision not only does that, but also allows me to start using this as an extensibility mechanism in the same way that we sort of have in the early 1990s, the ability to do this VBA with our
I'm just going to go ahead and set a flag in my mind where anytime I go into Visual Studio to create a console application to get something done, I'm gonna.
Yeah, this is exactly
that. A quick
and dirty. So instead of having, you know, console application 533, you can do
that. And I'm also going to get CSI in my path so that anytime I'm usually at the command line. Anytime I'm at the command line, I can just jump over into CSI and do something scrappy with C#.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can see in your developer command prompt, you can get it. You can add that to your path inside Visual Studio. You can add it to PowerShell. The one thing I should mention in PowerShell is you don't want to go ahead and run this from PowerShell ISE. PowerShell ISE is a window on top of the command prompt. And so if you do it there, it's interactive. And so it's actually going to freeze your PowerShell ISE. It's actually one of the programs that you don't want to execute in there because it starts to execute, but then it never returns.
Yeah.
And so you want to be careful of doing that. Control-C will get you out, but you can't actually use CSI.exe inside PowerShell ISE at the moment.
I'm glad you told folks that tip, how to get out. I heard that there are a lot of people who've been using VI for many, many years, but that's mostly because they haven't figured out how to exit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, this is great. Thanks a lot for, actually, I learned a whole lot about C# scripting. I didn't know very much about it yet. And hopefully you guys that are watching the video learned a lot too. We'll see you on the next video.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeremy.